oh, such and such is coming. Do you want to get a cake? No, f*** them.
So what's the cake for? Is the cake for birthing person's day? Because I know this birthing person's day is going to be a miracle day for me. Not only is the birthing person I'm living with about to give birth to our child of dubious gender. We don't know yet. We're going to let the child decide when the child turns, 10 or whatever. But it's sad day for me because I miss my birthing person and I miss my both of my grand birthing persons as well. And it's a sad time. Jeff, you have to remember your birthing person. Sorry, I almost said mother. Birthing person on tomorrow. Yeah,
don't try and gender my mother.
My right. Birthing person. Because there are people who give birth who aren't mothers or female. All throughout history, men have been giving birth left and right. And, we're all seahorses now.
Seahorses, yeah.
Yeah, we're all seahorses now. But, happy Birthing Person's Day. My favorite movie with Michael Keaton is Mr. Birthing Person. That was a good film.
Yep.
My favorite Pink Floyd song is Birthing Person from The Wall. Gosh, there's just so many wonderful things.
Don't tell the birthing person the babysitter's dead.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
You're a birthing person fucker.
That is the most ridiculous woke bullshit I've ever heard in my life. Birthing person.
I thought you made that up. You got this from somewhere else?
No, some idiot congresswoman was talking about birthing persons in some hearing this week. And, of course, the usual suspects, people who have, cartoon animations as their avatars are like, she's a hero. And then like normal people are like, this is stupid.
I don't know what's scarier, the fact that she brought it up or the fact that it's on congressional record at this point.
Well, I'm not shocked by it, given all the idiots on both sides who are in Congress now. We have people like us that are stupider than us. I want people who are smarter than us, but we have people who either are level of stupid, because I'm not smart enough to be a member of Congress. No way. I'd get all upset and angry and storm out and go, I'm not going to finish this shit.
No, currently you are. You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be, but currently you are smart enough.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I still consider people who give birth to be mothers.
You're smart enough to be a president, man. You got that strategery. All the nuclear codes.
I got to think of the last five presidents we had. So that's the current one, the last one, President Obama, President Bush, and President Clinton. I think the two smartest were President Clinton and President Obama. Both of them are very smart men. Now, I don't know if Bush is smart. He just seems jovial and, hey, I'm a good old-fashioned frat boy. But we've entered into a dark realm.
I mean, I think Biden was smart before he had dementia.
Sure he was. Sure he was. I don't even know if he's
smart.
He's just old. I don't know.
Yeah, he's just frail and old. And
yeah, I mean, he's 189 years old.
Right.
Imagine how old his birthing person was.
He's like Reagan at the end, but at the beginning.
Yeah, no doubt. Imagine how it'll be when he's 82. If he, gets a second term.
I think he's going to be eating pudding in a wheelchair. I'm sorry.
He'll be sharing a bowl with Major, the German Shepherd. Speaking of German Shepherds, and to change topics here, as we're polarizing, but we're not polarizing. We're being bipolar and making fun of everyone, which is the way we should be. Everybody, right? No, but speaking of German Shepherds, coming up later on the show, Steph and I spoke with Sergeant Tappan again. He is the... I want to say owner. What do we say now instead of dog owner? We say
he is the owner now.
Well, I know, but
he's the dog's birthing person.
Yeah, he's the dog's. He's the dog's. right before the pandemic, we sat down in studio with Sergeant Tappan, and we got to meet Mattis, the canine. And canine Mattis, very viral dog, has a TikTok, has an Instagram, both very popular, and now a children's book. And we will talk to Sergeant Tappan about that, and he'll tell us a little bit about the book and where you can meet him coming up on May 16th. All that information will be in the interview toward the end of the show, but.
Friggin' snap camera's not working. I was going to come in with a dog head on, but it's not working.
Well, as you remember, Jeff was afraid to come in because everything he owned smells like weed and he didn't want the dog to attack him.
Well, he didn't realize that Mattis only looks for drugs when he's told to look for drugs.
Right.
So he could bring him in a room full of cocaine, and unless he gets the command, he could give a rat's ass. It could be powdered sugar. He doesn't care.
You could snort it right in front of him. He might, he might get, you know, a little upset that he can't do anything about it because it's smelly. Right. He knows, I got to do something about this.
Right.
So yeah, that was a fun interview, and so check it out at the end of the show. I had a filling today, and I wanted to talk about it. I mean, how boring and mundane is it to get a filling? But
did you get the gas?
No, I didn't get gas.
What?
No. Let me tell you that I haven't had a filling probably, I'd say, in over 10 years. Right. So things are a lot different now. You know, I got the numbing stuff, so you don't feel the shot. I got two shots. And they do it so quickly now. And
are they the Moderna Novocaine or the Pfizer Novocaine?
No, I got the AstraZeneca.
Nice.
Novocaine, and with a J&J chaser. No,
you be careful. Things don't get stuck between your teeth now.
What things?
With the Zeneca.
Oh,
it'll create a clot, you know, right between your teeth.
No, but they in the way they put the stuff in now, I guess I know there's no more metal, but you know, it was easy and it was quick and I couldn't believe it, you know. And that we come from a town, Jeff and I, a real small town with we had one or two dentists in there. I don't think you went to the one I went to, Jeff. But
you go to Dr. Sayas?
I went to Dr. Cool.
He wasn't even in town. He was like out of town.
Dr. Cool, he was right on Main Street.
It was?
Yeah, he was above one of those businesses on
Main Street. I thought his office was in his house.
Mm-mm. No, oh, okay. No. You went to the guy who bought your parents' house, didn't you?
I went to Dr. Augustine.
Yeah, didn't he buy your parents' house and turn it into the... You lived there when you were a kid, and then the guy bought the house.
No, that was Dr. Sayas.
Oh, all right, forget it. I'm trying to have a good dental talk here. Ancient dentists.
Well, I'm assuming your point being is that when we were kids, it was horrific and medieval.
Yeah, and...
They weren't stingy with the gas back then, though.
No, they weren't. I like gas. I didn't even ask for it, but go ahead.
Do you remember, not everybody remembers this, my dentist, he was a piece of shit, which I know you can't tell by my jacked up teeth that I went to a dentist, but I did. I just didn't ever get braces.
They're clean. That's.
I mean, they're clean, but yeah. I mean, obviously. But anyway.
I know jacked up teeth, believe me.
This is true, but you spent thousands of dollars and got your teeth straightened out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll just go to the grave with these jacked up choppers. But anyway, the dentist, he gave me when I was a kid, it was a pill that it was supposed to numb everything, but it felt like something was pinching your tongue.
Did you ever
get anything like that? I've asked so many people about this, if they've ever gotten this anesthetic. It was horrible.
No, the only pill from a dentist was the one that would turn all the plaque red.
Yeah.
Like chew in your mouth.
Yeah, when we were kids and the dental hygienist would come into your school, chew on this and we'll see.
I got Valium from the dentist when I had my wisdom teeth out.
Oh, you did? They didn't knock you out for that?
They wanted to knock me out, but they wanted to knock me out using an IV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's double. Yeah. You were afraid.
So I was like, I informed the guy that I wasn't getting an IV without some Valium or something.
I always try to talk to every time I go to the dentist to get a filling. I bring up Sir Laurence Olivier and Dustin Hoffman from the Marathon Man and horrific scenes where he's drilling. Is it safe? Is it safe? Oh, it's safe. It's safe. It's safe. And today was the first time I met somebody who didn't know that movie. I was happy about that. Well, sad, but happy. Yeah.
Are they younger or older than you?
Probably 10 years younger than me.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't even that big of a film, but the maybe at the time it was. But it was before our time. It came out. We were very young. But that scene is so iconic. As Olivier's playing a former Nazi and he's trying to find out where the diamonds are, or asking Dustin Hoffman if they're safe. And Dustin Hoffman has no idea. Then you got William Devane in the back. I'll help you out. But he really is a double agent. Devane. Hey, I buy like, gold.
I was gonna say it's like his mandible. And his top jaw, they were completely independent of each other. They just shifted around.
He's like the newsman on Sesame Street. No, the Muppet Show. The Muppet Show, not Sesame Street. So what else? Oh, I'm on the Wilder Ride. We mentioned that the other day on the Tuesday or Wednesday show, but still on it. And I had a lot of fun. I listened. It was a fun listen too. Those guys were great.
I guilted him into having me on too.
Oh, you did? Good. Who did you go through? Walter or Walt. Okay.
Nice work.
There you go. Walt's the softy, if you can get in.
Well, we all know you're good at guilting people into shit, Jeff.
All right. Jesus, quit haranguing me. We'll do it. No, Jeff's not like that. Dustin and I have been talking about doing a Dark Tower podcast, and now we invited everybody else, but no one else wanted to do it. So we were talking about it, and there already are a bunch of them, I noticed. And is what would we do differently? I was thinking. Now, The Dark Tower is a series of novels by Stephen King, starting with The Gunslinger, and of course they made a terrible movie out of it with a good cast, just terrible writing. And a terrible film altogether, shouldn't have been made. But, you know, Dustin's been giving me little nuggets of stuff I didn't know about. For instance, there was a pilot episode of a show done set around the fourth book, which is Wizard in Glass. And the cast looked amazing for that. And I want to know how we can see that pilot. Is there any way we could see? They only shot one. It was going to be an Amazon series, right, Dustin?
Yeah, it was set for Amazon. They shot it in early 2019. And supposed to be for the 2020 season, and they didn't pick it up. So it was only, I think, one episode. But yeah, it was supposed to start because that book is a flashback to the main character Roland's early life. So it was going to start the series off and then catch back up with the full series, which would have been a great idea as a way to start it, because that's been the problem with any incarnation of people trying to do it has been the flow. It's such a, you know, amazingly vast story, and it's kind of hard to pick up.
Wasn't Michael Rooker in it?
Yeah, he was going to play Eldred Jonas, who is the one of the big coffin hunters in that book. And if you haven't read those books, but you're a Stephen King fan and you're kind of like wary of it, which I was for a long time, until, I don't know, 2000 or whatever.
It's intimidating.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's intimidating, but I can't emphasize enough that if you're going to do it, get the audiobooks, at least for the first four, because they're read by, and we talk about him a lot on the show, Frank Muller, who just, is it Mueller or Muller? I always.
That's one or the other. It's like.
Probably one of the best, if not the best audiobook storyteller in the history of audiobook storytelling. Just amazing stuff. And Dustin right now is listening to The Talisman, which is another really good book and sort of, you know, kind of related to The Dark Tower, at least.
My favorite.
Yeah, it's Jeff's favorite for sure. But that audiobook's fantastic. So, I mean, if you like listening to audiobooks and you want it to be more than just somebody going, and then he said this, and then she said that, and then it's a storyteller. You know, if you've ever listened to somebody tell you a story that knows how to tell a story that can capture the characters and the narrative, it's just amazing. You know,
the guy that does the Harry Potter books, it does a very good job. And I'm sure he was,
what's his name? Dale is his last name. I forget his first name, but yeah.
Jim Dale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure he was inspired by Frank Muller.
Yeah, he's fantastic as well. Stephen Fry read the British versions, I believe. If you get him in the United States, it's weird. Stephen Fry at least read the first one. I know that because I've listened.
Yeah, he also did the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series as well.
Stephen Fry? Really
good. Yeah.
Jim Dale, yeah. Fry. Oh, yeah, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, these are books that I've read the physical copies of and, you know, read them, you know, turned the pages and everything. But listening to the story is just, you know, if you have time and you can pay attention, if you're going for a walk or a long drive, they're perfect for that. Or if you're cutting your grass.
And Audible has all of these. And while you're on Audible, you can also check out Radio Labyrinth. We are on Audible podcast section.
Nice.
So you can listen to us in between listening to books.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you could watch our videos on YouTube that Dustin curates for us here. And you can go to youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter @Radio_Labyrinth. Facebook, of course, is just Radio Labyrinth. And while you're there, we have the Radio Shack, which you can go and find out all sorts of fun things about. And you can interact with people. And if you're cool, you might even get a gold star on Twitter from the Gold Star Foundation. I forget what it's called specifically. So sorry. Huh?
Let's plug the pizza thing too.
About ready to do that. So if you are free on Sunday, May 16th from 2 to 5 p.m., There's a couple things you can do. You'll find out later when we talk to Sergeant Tappan, but we have an event that we'd love to see you at. It's Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. We are going to have pizza. We're going to have salad. We're going to have all sorts of fun things, but most foremost is going to be a gathering to see a lot of you people who we haven't seen in person in forever. And just to sit down and commiserate and have conversations, laugh. We'll have some stuff to give away. Our good friend Fuxi made some really cool stickers. And of course I'll have the Radio Labyrinth Blockbuster stickers that Pickle designed. And we'll just have a great time. And Mike Hall has put together a really easy thing. Okay. It's the pizzas are going to be there. It's going to be COVID friendly pizza stations with gloves. If you want to wear gloves when you touch all the food. Free soft drinks. So bring the kids. It's really cheap. It's $8 a person. And, fairly good price, I would say. Fantastic price. $5 for kids. And that's only if you eat. So if you're not going to eat, you don't have to pay anything. Also, go ahead.
Bring a dessert.
Yeah, if you want to bring a dessert, feel free to bring a dessert. One that you can share or one that you just want to hog all to yourself. And at the end of the event, we'll pass around a pitcher or a bucket, whatever. Throw a couple bucks in. Don't be a cheap bastard. Cough up a buck, you cheap bastard. And we'll take care of the wait staff and his cooking staff who showed up that day. And oh, by the way, if you want a beer, it will be on tap.
So, and I'll be wearing a mask, but that's all.
Are you wearing it on your face?
Can't you wear one on your ding dong?
Wherever.
Yeah. Strap it to each nut and pull it over the top. Why not? I think we'll all be wearing masks, won't we? I mean, you have to wait 14 days after your second shot. And then you.
I'm clear for the 14 days. I'm thinking about actually not wearing a mask.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. One more thing I want to talk about before we get to the news, take a break, get to the news. The Finger Lakes Slasher, Syracuse Sam, are we ever going to do that or are we just done?
That's always been my question. I don't know.
I want to try and do like a more scripted episode, but writing is so fucking hard, but I'll do it. It's going to take me a while.
It's more like the time for us to get together to do it properly. I mean, it's like we can't just do a 20-minute read through and be like, we're done.
Yeah.
But we just don't have the time to do it. It's like we do this thing twice a week. You got a baby getting ready to shoot out. I mean,
soon.
Things are just, that's
why we put a parameter of 2021. So it's going to come out this year.
Sure, sure.
Put a defined date on it.
Well, we'll have fun with it. Steph had a new idea that I liked. And I think that if we go in that direction, it might be a little easier. So,
A little zanier.
Less of me talking about all the terrible things that are in my head.
It's pretty scary, Tim, how easily that stuff just rolls right out of your mouth. Like you've been thinking about it for a while.
Well, I took an improv class. So,
yes. Was it taught by a serial killer?
Yeah. And you're a serial killer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of serial killers, I read that there isn't going to be anyone from the original cast in the updated Dexter, except for Dexter. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that James Remar will not be in it. And James Remar played his dad, who was
dead on the show, right?
Well, yeah, but James Remar was his dad, his conscience. Remember
his dark passenger?
Yeah, his dark passenger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the rumor is that his sister is going to be that character. Yeah. We'll see about that.
Wife/sister.
Yeah. Deborah or Deb. Are they still together? I thought they broke up.
They broke up, but it was creepy that he married her.
Yeah, I know. She played your sister for 6 years, 8 years.
Yeah, but they're towards the end of the last season. She's four. Remember?
You broke up. What'd you say?
I said towards the end of that last season, she started acting like she had the hots for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Because, they weren't really related. They weren't related at all.
But on the show,
Dexter on Pornhub this fall. Yeah, I got stuck in the dryer when my stepbrother came home and I was naked with my head in the dryer and he had sex with me.
Oh. Dexter damn near killed her.
So I'm no longer a lumberjack. Not a lumberjack. I'd start working on my Dexter again.
Yeah, you do.
Not going to be a lumberjack. He's going to, I guess he'll be doing what he did before, blood splatter analyst.
How is that possible?
I don't know. How do you like, how many blood splatter analysts are there in the United States to where, hey, well, either way, I did this.
Well, hey, if you're a serial killer, there can be a lot less.
Yeah.
That's called working for job opportunity right there.
Right. I read that they were going to do a scene. The guy who created the original showrunner wanted Dexter's final scene when the show was done to be him about to get a lethal injection. And, because he got arrested in the death penalty. And as he's being, put down, he looks out and sees all of his victims. So like, Sergeant Dokes, surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise, motherfucker.
I love Dokes. It's
Dokes was the best.
When he got
fucked in the books, though. Dokes got fucked in the books.
What do you mean?
Dexter like cut his tongue out and fucking chopped his hands off and shit.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow. Yeah.
He just fed him to the alligators. Wow, I did not know that. Maybe I should read the books.
Who knows? Yeah, the books aren't bad.
Do they have those books on Audible?
Yeah.
Who reads them? Do you know?
No, I don't know. There's probably versions now, though, that Dexter himself reads.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do a little bit of news. Got some stories and stuff. Dustin.
All right. looks like I'm glad that we chose the Nevers avenue as opposed to the Irregulars, because the Irregulars has already been canceled.
Damn.
Yeah, it's, and to me that wasn't a big surprise when we started watching it, and it turned out to be everything that we thought the Nevers were going to be, which was kind of funny. But it's another Holmesian thing that just kind of fell apart.
It just didn't have the fun that the Nevers has.
I think they wanted to make it that way, but it just didn't come across. Yeah. And that's probably got a lot to do with Josh Whedon. I mean, he's really good at bringing a team of things together. So,
yeah, that
like, have fun, you pieces of shit.
Yeah, but it is, you're absolutely right about the Nevers. It is just fun, And again, you can't go wrong with good storytelling, a good script, and good cast. All those things. They all fall into place. And a show that I was, when I saw the trailer for it or read about it, I'm like, oh, it's just going to be woke women, men suck. It's not that. It's just entertaining, and there's no real message as far as I can tell.
Well, the good part, we've got the Nevers on HBO Max, but it looks like there's also talks right now for Pennyworth, which is a DC property, to move over to HBO Max.
They're countering Disney with all these DC properties, right? And bringing them all to HBO Max.
I think they're trying to.
Don't they have a problem? Like, wouldn't some of that stuff be on Paramount?
Well, not really for Paramount. They would have more. I mean, with DC, you're only going to have, DC's got the account with HBO Max, so they run like all of the DC Universe shows that were originally on DC Universe, their own, site that got bought up by HBO Max.
I was thinking of CW Warner. So never mind. But yeah,
I didn't notice that the Von Hessler Doctrine is live right now.
Where?
Where I just got it on my phone.
It's not live right now.
Just got it.
Unless somebody's jerking around.
Oh, it's PowerPod.
Oh. So this is kind of meta. Yeah, my coworker Jared Von Hessler, he has the PowerPad, and that's on right now live. So, but as you're listening or watching this, it's not. You just have to watch the recording, but we are. And speaking of which, I'm going to interrupt you, Dustin. Sorry.
No problem.
There's a possibility that this very show that you're listening to or watching right now might go into a new tent, fold itself into a new tent, which would bring us new listeners and more opportunities. So stay tuned. And Dustin, continue.
All right. Let's see. We've got...
Anyway, well, before you keep going, Steph, are you still watching Pennyworth? You said a while ago, maybe you had noped out on it.
Jeff keeps telling me to get back into it. But the
season two ended really cool. It was a fun season, I thought.
I'll try to get back into it. The season one was so good. And then I don't know. You know how sometimes you start to watch season two and you're like, this doesn't have the same feeling. And you're like, fuck,
I'll give
this.
You a little bit of a spoiler. Alfred's dad shows back up.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, okay.
They got him all fucking Batmaned up like he's a fucking machine and shit now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of DC, before we move on, are we going to talk about the new Superman, or are we just going to avoid it?
I like the new Superman, the CW show, Lois and...
No. The movie that'll be coming out soon.
Oh, you mean the Black Superman?
Yeah, the complete reboot of Clark Kent being from Krypton.
Where's he going to be from?
Krypton. It's going to be Clark Kent from Krypton. Kal-El.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you say Compton?
Did you say Compton?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not. Don't say that. Okay. No, I didn't say any of that stuff. It's just interesting to me when they already have characters from multiple universes that would fill that role that they're just going to go ahead and reboot Kal-El. So anyway. Well,
I know that they asked Michael B. Jordan to do it, and he said no.
No, because he doesn't want to be a part of something polarizing.
Well, he doesn't want to be pigeonholed in superhero movies either. He's already done two.
No, and he's a good actor, and he doesn't have to, you know, resort to just doing, you know, cape stuff.
I think they should get Uncle Jerome to play him.
Yeah.
Who?
Uncle Jerome from Snowfall.
Oh yeah. I would love that, but he has to have the same hair and the mustache.
What? Why? Why?
Because he'd be cool as shit.
Oh, I don't think he's got it. He doesn't have to look the same. That's what you want, a different Superman. Give us Uncle Jerome Superman.
Right. Uncle Jerome Superman with a mesh shirt that's blue with the, you know, like those 80s shirts, mesh 80s shirts. Yeah, come on.
Jerry curl the whole thing. Have it all set in the 80s.
Now, here's I want to say this. I'm going to make my take on this right now. It doesn't bother me, of course, but it's just there's a lot of different stories that can be told. There's a multiverse in DC. There's characters that fit the mold, you know, and why they're doing Superman, why they're going to redo this, I have no idea. But it is polarizing and people are going to be mad and people are going to like it. And then it's that new thing of, hey, we're going to do this. Everybody fight about it.
But little Spider-Man, he was black.
No, it's a different
in the cartoon.
No, it's different.
It was a different Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man is a different. Morales is his name, right? Mike Morales.
Miles Morales.
Miles Morales isn't Peter Parker. He's Miles Morales, and he's from a different
dimension
universe in the Marvel universe, which is what they've already done with different Supermans from different levels of DC. This is just a retelling of the same story. So even if it was. Even if they weren't doing anything, you know, stunt wise, like they are with this, we don't need to see the Clark Kent origin story again. Just make a movie that's interesting and fun and character wise. And we don't care who plays them, where they're from, what their background is, race, any of that. Just do a good story.
Yeah, I think that's originally why they made Miles Morales, was so they didn't have to do that.
Right.
Uncle Ben dying again.
Right.
The Spider-Verse was like so great. It totally, to me, it completely rebooted the entire.
Right. Peter Parker would be 75 years old. Okay. If they kept the original timeline, things have to change. And, you know, the country isn't Lily White and all of our heroes aren't Lily White. So make new characters, create new stories, give people new opportunities. That's what people want. People don't want the same shit spoon fed to them. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming up on June 9th, which is early, we're getting the Loki series on Disney Plus. Tom Hiddleston came out and made it a video announcement that it's going to be Wednesday, June 9th. And then every episode is going to be released on Wednesday. So Wednesday has become the new Friday on Disney Plus.
Now, is Loki going to be wokey, or is it just going to be Loki and cool?
I don't think this will be wokey. I think this is going to be crazy. I think it's going to be nuts. The trailer looks nuts.
I always loved his character. He's such an asshole.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And Hiddleston's done the best of playing him. I mean, Hiddleston's done a great job playing him and making that character, you know, himself and making Loki nuts. Do you remember watching the old, like whenever they'd show Loki in one of the old animated shows from the late 60s or any time in the 70s, he was always goofy voiced. Oh, I'm an imbecile.
Yeah. And those horns, you know, didn't help.
No, they were ridiculous. Like, he'd fall over. These things are heavy. Oh, my neck. I'll get you, Thor. You guys remember, I know Jeff does, but do you guys remember those old Marvel syndicated animated? They were like pages from the comic books. And instead of doing like cell animation, they would just take an image and move it, a still image, and move it.
Oh, motion comics.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was the, these were made in the late 60s. It was all the Avengers. It was Submariner, Hulk, Thor, Captain America. And
I'm sure you could probably find them on YouTube.
They're all on YouTube and they're fun.
Yeah, they are. And there's new ones on there too. There's people that are taking that same concept that, but doing it with newer comics or doing it with whole runs of comics.
Oh shit. We got a link to that, or you got to send it to
me. I'll find it and I'll put it on the link.
Awesome.
Also it looks, Mandalorian, third season. It looks like there's going to be strong with the Force. As far as it being on Tatooine, kind of limits who it could possibly be. But I'm thinking they're probably going to tie in Ahsoka,
mm-hmm.
and bring her, because that's probably going to be the stepping stone for Ahsoka's show that's going to be coming out as well. So I think they're going to stair step them. You know how Mandalorian kind of spoon fed Book of Boba in, then this will spoon feed into her series.
Cool.
But that is, and they're in production now. And have you seen any more from W. Earl, Jeff?
No, he just posted that thing about Book of Boba Fett on Star Wars Day. So yeah,
that makes, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you know, that's all going to take place on Tatooine, and that's where he, you know, his character is. So I assume, you know, it's going to he's going to have to be, you know, there for, looks like maybe both,
right,
series,
and that's where that his character, the Weequay, lives. So
yeah, so we should be able to see a lot of him as that character coming up. You know, hopefully. We don't, there's not any problems.
Yeah, hope so.
And sorry, my iPad's acting goofy. Stranger Things, season 4, they just released a teaser trailer.
Oh, cool.
Teaser trailers, I mean, it doesn't give much information, but it does have, you know, their version of the shop, where Eleven came from. It shows a nursery or playroom, with, you know, 10 or 12 children playing. And then, the doctor, walks in from the first season of Stranger Things. He walks in and says, "Good morning, children." And then it pans over to a door that's shut, and it has the 11 on the front.
Right.
So I'm not sure if this is a flashback, showing what happened and how she grew up there, or, you know, they have 11 back in their grasp. So we'll have to wait and see. But
it's fun. It'll always be 11. I wonder if they'll show, like, I wonder if you'll be able to tell. They're shooting a lot of that in my town, so I'm wondering if I'll be able to recognize things. I wonder if they went to eat at Matthews.
They're not shooting some of the normal stuff. I mean, the stuff they've used in other seasons, like the school bus where they all hang out, little junkyard.
Right.
That's the house in Conyers. And the backyard, this guy had just a bunch of junk and a bus in his backyard, and they bought his whole property, house included. And they ended up using the house for the interiors of, the last season that had the pretty boy that got possessed.
Right. Yeah.
Him and his sister, that was their house. So, but none of that, they've recently sold that property and cleared everything off. So I'm thinking this is probably going to be a lot of flashback.
Mm-hmm.
In this next season, and they may split it up, because you also have to take into consideration the age of all these, you know, guys that, you know, they're adults.
Voices have probably changed.
Yeah. Voices have changed. Things have grown. Things have dropped.
They found a video store that rents Ginger Lynn videos since it's 1980 something or other.
Well, they're at Gwinnett Place Mall.
Yeah,
for sure. Right now. So they're shooting.
Where they get their COVID there. Shots? Oh, they didn't, I said, are they getting their COVID shots, or they didn't have COVID?
But that'll be
Fauci was around.
Sorry. And then we've also got a story of Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
He's got something debuting on Paramount Plus. You know anything about this, Jeff?
No,
it's the movie. This was one of those ones where it was supposed to go to the theater. But this is, and Paramount Plus has said that there's a couple of their movies that they were only going to show, or the movies they were only going to show at the theater or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm saying it wrong. this is the first movie that should be premiering at the theater that they're going to premiere on Paramount Plus.
So they're taking a page out of HBO Max and just
yes.
putting it on there. So
exactly. Yeah.
It looks good. I like Mark Wahlberg. He's fun. He's a decent guy. And I'll give it a shot. Anything that he's in, you know, if it's not too stupid looking, I will give it a shot.
Hey, hello.
Hey.
Say hi to your birthing person.
But you know what's funny to me about Mark Wahlberg? They cancel people for 12-year-old tweets on some people, right?
Yeah.
Wahlberg has an actual hate crime on his record. Chased black kids and threw bottles at them when he was a teenager and called them the N-word and said he was going to kill them. And for some reason, everybody just is like, "Dah."
I imagine he apologized and atoned.
Well, Liam Neeson apologized too when he said he wanted to beat up black people. But
so I'm saying it's like Wahlberg gets a total pass, and he's like the only one who has a legit hate crime on his fucking record. He went to jail for it.
I do believe that he has atoned for that. And done something or whatever. I don't know. Maybe he's...
Yeah, he made an M. Night Shyamalan movie, so...
Yeah. So that's punishment enough.
My problem isn't with that, Tim. My problem is with the woke culture.
Try
and cancel someone else for a 10-year-old tweet.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's nothing, but they don't go after Mark Wahlberg.
Well, I think they're all Funky Bunch fans, so maybe...
Well, it hadn't come out yet. Give them some time.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as this comes out, I mean, you may have just, you know, kind of got that story ahead of yourself. Yeah.
You're the Hannibal Buress of Mark Wahlberg.
God, Hannibal Buress's stand-up is funny.
Hello to you, Wahlberg, for me.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dustin. Jeff?
Yeah, we had a couple who died. Billie Hayes, if you remember her, she played Witchy Poo on H.R. Puff and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And she did a lot of other stuff. She was on Lidsville, right?
Wasn't she on Hee Haw as well?
She's been on a ton of stuff.
Why would she have been on Hee Haw?
I thought she was the one that always had the blacked out tooth with the jug. She would like have the young pretty girls would always be gathered around her and she'd be in the middle of them.
I don't think that was her, but I'm going to Google it just in case.
Okay. It's just my East Tennessee memory is just seeping back in slowly.
I don't know that she was. I'm checking because it could very well could have been, but I don't know. I don't know if that was Hee Haw.
No, I don't think that was her.
She was a British actress, so I'm not sure if she was on Hee Haw, but I'm checking.
It was a popular show. It made it across the pond. You know how those Brits love Southern people.
Oh, look at those rubes. She was on General Hospital for sure.
And she was American too.
Oh, she was? I thought she was British. Damn it.
Is she an expat?
No. She was on Trollkins, Bay City Rollers, where she played Witch. They really milked Witchy Poo.
Yeah.
She was on Tabitha, which was a spinoff, a 1977 spinoff of Bewitched.
Bewitched. Yeah.
I don't see her credited. She was on Lil Abner, a whole bunch of shows from the 70s, but I don't see Hee Haw.
Okay, my bad.
But she was 96. That was a good run.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Frank McRae. Do you remember him?
I remember. Go ahead. Yeah, but I remember him mostly from
Red Dawn.
Yeah. Well, now, my friends. Well, now, I would say they were way off course. Excuse me now, my friend.
I remember him from Batteries Not Included.
Oh yeah,
he was the janitor in the mute janitor in the building.
He was in a bunch of stuff too. He passed away. He was 80.
Man, you see his face and you instantly.
Yeah, if you look him up, if you just Google him and see his face, you'll recognize him from a ton of shit.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace to Frank McRae and of course to Billie Hayes as well. So. Well, let's see. I guess we're just about done. So thank you to everybody. Unless there's anything else you guys want to talk about.
Steph, you got any dog stuff?
Well, yeah, of course.
Oh, just, you know, this will be out on Saturday. So if you heard this Saturday or Friday or whatever, come out to the Cherry Street Brew Pub in Alpharetta at 4:00 for the drawing of the raffle tickets.
Okay. Do you have to be present to win?
No.
Okay.
No, they'll email you if you did win. So you don't have to be there, but you could be there. I mean, why wouldn't you want to get drunk and hang out with some dogs?
Right. I mean, I did that in college a lot.
You've been training your dog to draw my ticket, right?
I have to. Oh, you just don't even know.
Yeah.
Norman is going to get this ticket.
I say in those underwear, you just keep rubbing them on the ticket and under his nose.
Underwear.
I'm trying to kill my dog. But that would be great. Just the same old adopt don't shop.
Yeah. Where would people go to find the dog?
Barkville dog rescue.org.
Say it in the clean.
Barkville dog rescue.org. Woof.
Woof. Now don't go anywhere because following this and the break, we'll be right back with Sergeant Tappan talking about Canine Mattis and the brand new kids book. And it was a lot of fun. So stick around. Don't go no place. All right. Now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year. So let's just say the first year and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly.
Oh, okay.
I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. Okay. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
Leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out. And that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell us about
he should.
Backpacks and shit and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right. We'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right. Well, welcome to the show and congratulations. Like we had said earlier in the show, our guest tonight, Sergeant Mark Tappan. Now, you're still a sergeant, I believe, correct? It wasn't you.
Yeah, let me keep it. Correct. Oh.
Mattis, the canine dog we had on the show. You were our last in-person guest. Do you know this?
No way. I didn't know that.
I'm right honored. Aren't I, Steph? Am I right about that?
No, I think you are right.
Yeah.
That's why it was like extra special. That was the last. And it was such a, it was such a great time watching you and Mattis do all your tricks and stuff. It was just a blast.
And now you have a best-selling book, children's book. It's pretty awesome. You've been on Entertainment Tonight, Good Morning America, Fox and Friends, and now you're on Radio Labyrinth.
Finally, again.
Finally, yes. Finally, this is the icing on the cake. Of course, Mattis and Sergeant Tappan appeared on America's Top Dog on A&E, and coming in a very narrow second in the Champions episode. So we're happy to have you back, and we want to hear all about the book and how you came up with it.
Oh yeah, well the book was, I was actually writing a biography of myself and my relationship with my dog, because that seems to draw people in. And I thought it was, especially in the times that we're in, is the more that we can bring people together, the better. And so that was one, the point of the book that I was writing. And I was like, this is taking a long time. And I was like, you know, my demographic really, I get all these messages on social media all the time about how kids love to watch my videos over and over again. And so I was like, you know what, maybe if I kind of shortened, abbreviated, and made it into a children's book, since that seems to be the demographic that I'm reaching through social media, maybe I could do that. And it seems to have worked.
Well, I bought one the other day. Now, my wife and I are about 3 weeks away from our first child, and I'm going to be old man dad, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that. But I bought the book. So, you know, the our child will be born into a household full of dogs. We have three, and we're going to continue to, you know, get new dogs eventually. But yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to share the book with them. Steph?
I got it have too. You,
oh,
I'm sorry.
I read it, but I read it to my dogs. I'll be like, I'm like, why can't you do this?
Yeah.
I just don't love any of this stuff.
So the number one comment I get, if you hold up that book again, is people always criticize. They're like, that's not you, because there's no gray in the beard.
No.
Oh, stop.
So yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I told the illustrator. And no gray in the beard.
No gray in the beard.
That was, I did not think of that at all.
Oh, thank you.
The illustration.
My kids did.
The kids are going to be honest, right?
That's right.
It's brutally. The illustrations are great.
Yeah, I love the artwork.
Oh, I thought Brittany Hassinger, she was so neat. I kind of reached out on social media to see if anyone was interested. And she appealed to me because I saw some of her artwork that was on her Instagram page. And I loved her illustrations, the emotion that was in it, the simplicity. And plus, she's a student right now, and she is super eager, hardworking, and she was just the neatest person in the world to work with. I thought she just captured each scene so well.
Yeah, really did. It's a great kids book. I mean, it's a great book for anybody, really.
Oh, thank you. Your dogs enjoy it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I read them to sleep every night.
And when you take the thoughts that you have in you want to express in a book for a child, how do you condense those into something that is digestible to a kid?
That's a great question. And it was, I have a 6-year-old, and so I try to picture things through her world, and she just astounds me every day with the adventures she has in her own mind. And she loves to talk about Mattis and what he does at work. And so it's pretty much trying to be her person through her eyes and tell the story of Mattis and I to her friends.
That's cool.
She's in a lot of your, she's in a lot of your videos.
Yeah. She's entertaining to say the least. She's fun.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. You know, you've made so many TV appearances, and your TikTok videos, some of them have millions and millions of views. And I'm just wondering, have you arrested any suspects? And they're like, I know you from TikTok.
That has not happened. I have like pulled people over or something like that before. And they're like, are you the cop from TikTok? I'm like, yeah, do you want to meet my dog? So it luckily there hasn't been anyone I had to arrest yet.
They still get a ticket good. Though? Even if they
Well, so...
You got to give them a warning if they recognize.
Yeah, that's like a given, right? If they recognize you.
Unless it's a DUI, then it's like, oh, it's great.
But... Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there's limits.
I forget. What municipality are you in again?
I'm in Alpharetta.
Alpharetta. Okay. So is that a high crime, low crime? What kind of crime do you experience in Alpharetta?
Well, it's been interesting. You know, and you guys have seen the effects of COVID in your own way. Yeah. And we're the effects for us were property crimes went down, mm-hmm. which was our primary offenses were property crimes, people breaking into cars or stealing stuff from stores or whatever. And we saw that go way down because of COVID. And unfortunately, the side effect was people were together more, which meant crimes against persons went slightly up. You
Everybody
know?
Boxed and in so, together and getting on each other's turn.
Yes, sir. So it's kind of like we always on Thanksgiving, our domestic disputes tend to go up. And that's what COVID really was like a large Thanksgiving with people crammed into the same house. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Personalities clashing, all kinds of fun stuff.
I don't get that. I've never been at a Thanksgiving dinner in my life where family members started fighting with each other.
You should have came to my family Thanksgiving. I don't remember one where they didn't fight.
Really?
That's awesome. I remember growing up, there was my brother brought home a girlfriend, and I remember her spitting out the salad that my mom made and saying, "I hate blue cheese." Like, and I thought my mom was going to like break a chair over her face. It was amazing.
WWE. Bro.
That's wow. Right.
He did not marry her, I take it.
He did not.
No.
Well, you know, the last time we saw you, Mattis was, you know, coming in second place on America's Top Dog. And now he's retired. And I was just wondering, did something happen? I mean, did something happen to him that spurned that?
No, it was a couple of reasons, really. One is he's getting up there. He's about to turn 8 this month, actually. And I noticed every once in a while, he's just not as fast up the stairs as he used to be. Or he would kind of favor a leg after he ran really fast to do some training or whatever it was. And so I started noticing that. And with my rank, they don't want me to have another dog. And so it was those things combined. And I really want him to enjoy his years as, you know, in retirement and living with us. And our department's really good about that, right? Is if he's starting to show signs that he may be in pain to do the job, then they want to protect his quality of life as well. So it was my decision to say, you know what, just because he is starting to slow down and I hate for him to get hurt, I want to go ahead and retire him. No, so he can live his best life.
I'm glad that you did. I mean, especially over the last year, it seems like we've lost so many canines.
Yeah.
And it's and canines that were in younger and in better shape even than Mattis. So I'm glad that you took him off the beat.
Do you still have him, is he with you?
Oh yeah, he's giving me the side eye through my door right now. All right. He's like, "Why can't I be around you?"
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. He gets to stay with you and live out the rest of his life in a home, happy and not chasing down criminals.
Making TikToks and doing TV and all kinds of fun stuff.
When you say that because of your rank, how does that work?
Well, just so I'm actually, and I was before when I had Mattis, he was working with me, I'm a road sergeant. So I'm a supervisor on the road and I have people that are working with me. And that's my primary function. And K-9 was secondary. And so it meant I had a lot more responsibility than all the other road sergeants because I also had to run the canine unit. And so now it basically with him retired, I can solely focus on being a road supervisor.
Oh, okay.
And be lonely in the car without my
dog. But you got a puppy not that long ago, did you not?
Yeah, we got a whole house full of dogs. It's actually Mattis's son, Hawk.
Oh.
And then we have Storm in the middle there too, the forgotten child that we never talk about.
Is Hawk being trained to be a K-9 for the police?
Not in official duties because he's mine and I don't want to give him away.
Right.
But I am training him. He's a smart dog.
Oh, yeah.
So
we had a new family move onto our street. And you always know they're new because you see them walking the dog and you go, "I haven't seen that dog in a while." It's a German Shepherd that they have. And it's a beautiful, beautiful dog. But our bulldog now, and he's never been this way, sees the German Shepherd and his masculinity is threatened. I mean, he loses it. And he's never lost it before. I mean, we have black labs and other kind of dogs on the street, but this is the one that drives him crazy. So maybe he understands that the German Shepherd is the alpha dog.
That's hilarious, man. I love that. Yeah, and that's true, too. Like, what you said is, like, the only way that you knew it was a new family is because you didn't recognize the dog.
Right.
That's hilarious. That's great.
No, it does seem to be, like, out of most of the breeds, most of the power breeds, German Shepherds are so independent. And you always see their minds working. Like, they're thinking about stuff. Whenever I would volunteer at the shelter, I have to be honest with you, I didn't get a lot. I would get Pitbulls out all day long, all day long. Mm-hmm. Pitbulls are easy to read. You know what you got. German Shepherds, they look at you like, I don't know. We'll see. Come on in.
Yeah, I love them. I think, and I love the way the masculinity, right? The machismo that they carry. And Stephanie, you said it too, right? Is you see their minds working. And that's, I think, the difference between like a popular breeds in police work are German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois, Dutch Shepherds. And with the Belgian Malinois, you really don't get to see the mind working. They just kind of do it. So it's like unpredictable when it happens. But with the Shepherd, and that's what I like, is they're methodical and they're thinkers, but they are, they're loyal, they're smart, and they're protective. And so you always have to keep that in mind when you're working with them.
The two experiences I had as a child with German Shepherds balanced each other out, because my great aunt had one named Pepper. And when you're a little kid, a big barking German Shepherd can be intimidating, but that dog Pepper was so docile and friendly once she got to know me. But then another, this was a state trooper, Pennsylvania state trooper, that my mom is friends with his wife. So we go over to their house. They had a German Shepherd that they kept chained out back. They never, you know, was never an inside dog. And I got too close to the house, the dog house. And the next thing I know, I'm being dragged by the head to the dog.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I was afraid of them for a long time. I'm not afraid of dogs now. I mean, you know, you're an adult, you know how to treat them. But I was, for the longest time, I wouldn't go near one. I was like, oh, he's going to bite my head. But to get back to the meaning of it, though, it's all about the owner, the training, and not leaving them alone chained up in the snowy Pennsylvania weather.
Yeah, I mean, chaining a dog, they know that now it fosters aggression.
Yeah.
Almost all the time. Because they're pent up.
And that's one of the things that we've been very intentional about with the dogs in our program is Mattis always has lived in my house and interacts with my kids, and I try to socialize into his surroundings as I possibly can. And so from working in a shelter, that's what's important, is you're getting the dogs out and getting them interacting so you don't get an experience like you had, Tim.
Well, again, that's the owner, not the dog's fault. I fully believe that. You know, the same way that our dogs are little, my mom had a poodle and a peek-a-poo, which is a Pekingese and a poodle. The same reason they pooped and peed all over the floors, because she didn't train them to go outside to go poop and pee. So our house smelled like, that was the thing. My house smelled like awful dog smell for 18 years of my life. And I said, I'm never going to have any dogs. And then I met my current wife. She had two dogs when we met. And now we have three. And I love dogs again. So it's all full circle. But ours are housebroken.
That's good. Yeah, they're amazing. And that's one of the things that I love about Mattis. And, you know, the children's book illustrates it, I think, is how they bring people together, right? Is this dog, and why I'm missing having him in the car, too. You know, I used to scoff at people that had therapy dogs. But really, that's what he's been for me for the last 6 years. And now that he's gone, I'm missing having someone there that they love you unconditionally. They follow you around. The tail wags. All they want to do is make you happy. And they're just, to me, just amazing animals that can do incredible things.
Is he excited when you get home?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's sad when I leave. He still wakes up in the morning and he follows me to the door and he tries to herd me back in towards his harness. And then when I come home, you know, that's the best. I'm sure it's the same with your dogs, right? Is when you come home, the greeting they give you.
Well, I'd wondered if now that he's retired, has he gotten lazy? Does he just, you know, walk you to the door in his bathrobe with his cup of coffee? And
you bring him his slippers when you get him.
That's right. No, he's still the same. Like he still acts like a puppy. So
yeah,
it's just his body doesn't quite respond. Kind of like me. I'm a puppy.
Do you feel like because he's not getting that stimulation all day long like he used to, does he seem bored?
No, because it's something, once again, that we're super intentional about, that he gets lots of play times with the other dogs. And then if you watch like my TikTok or my Instagram, I'll put out like food problems where he has to use his nose to find food. So I'm always trying to keep his nose and his brain active.
I loved your TikTok the other day where you did the never, the Kevin Bacon dance.
I want Kevin Bacon to see that so bad.
It was so good.
I've never wanted someone to do edit, but man.
Tag him in it? Did you tag him in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And a lot of people are tagging him in the comments, too. So
that's cool.
That was.
What is your TikTok handle so people can find it, and Instagram?
K9_Mattis. K9_Mattis is TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then my Instagram is ADPS_K9_Mattis.
Well, you know, back to the book, I wanted to say, you know, as far as like you bringing people together for sure, but also, you know, the current climate, the way things have been happening for police officers being portrayed in the media and what have you, a lot of kids, that's all they know is what they're hearing. So, I mean, was that also a thought in your head when you were putting this together as like the message of what you guys do?
100%. And that's from the beginning when I got into canine, like that was one of the draws to canine for me. And I've already said a couple times tonight talking to you guys is the fact that dogs bring people together. And I've, to me, you know, we live in a world where media likes to pit people against one another and it's good for ratings. And I really think that we're in a world, if we want solutions to all these perceived problems, then we have to talk more and we have to come together more. And so that's the intent behind, like I said, initially getting into canine was I saw the draw that a dog would have when we went to demonstrations, right? I was in SWAT and I saw people just flock over to the canines. And then starting up the Instagram was the same thing, as I wanted to be genuine. I wanted to be transparent and I wanted to have fun because that's kind of how I approach my life in general anyway, and hope that the dogs would bring people together. And it did. And, you know, it led to things like the TV show, and then TikTok was the same thing. And the book was another byproduct. It's like, this is a way that, you know, I can just give an introspective into my life, the motives that I have for what I do, and hopefully people will come together and we can talk.
And a lot of, you know, from my point of view, when I was a kid, we had, I mean, again, it's a small town, so we had the town cop. That was what it was. But we had more than one officer, of course. But, it, you know, there was one or two cars and they patrolled all the time. And you felt secure and safe and you weren't afraid of them, but you also respected them. And that kind of was ingrained in us and not beat into us, but just, you know, ingrained. This is your local police officer. This is your state police officer. And that's carried with me over the years. You know, when I see a car behind me, you know, a police car, or if I'm speeding along and I see the car, I'm like, oh, better slow down. Those are just, they're just natural reactions. And like you said, you know, there's a certain group of people on social media who exist solely to malign police. And then there's another group, you know, it's dialogue, it's conversation, it's having an Instagram and using it for good purposes, or a TikTok for good purposes. Whereas you're not, you know, talking about society's ills, you're showing positivity and fun and sharing that something that everybody can relate to, you know, who likes dogs and has dogs. So, you know,
absolutely.
I was just going to say this as an example, you know, in my town, the guy kind of went viral. He was just, you know, off the top of his head in his vehicle doing a TikTok. What's wrong with that flag? And I don't know, people can fly whatever they want in their yard. And, you know, whether that's your opinion or not, it's still bringing negativity and not positivity. So I'm babbling,
right?
Sorry, but I think you know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. And that to me is the point, right? Is we all have beliefs,
right?
But I, you know, and this is way more philosophical than you probably expected to get with, you know, the guy that does silly talk, you know, Kevin Bacon, never TikToks dancing on his Jeep.
We want the deep, give it to us.
Yeah, but it's, you know, in reality, the strength of our nation is in diversity, the diversity of ideas. And when we get pent up on defending why I'm right, we're missing the other people's point of views, right? Because we're only worried about our perspective, and we miss a lot because we all have, you know, Tim, you're talking about your worldview of how you grew up, and there was trust in the police force. So you didn't think anything of, there was a respect, but that's because there is trust.
Right.
And some people don't have that because of different backgrounds.
Right.
And so it's understanding that, respecting it, and coming together, realizing that we don't come from the same place and we have different experiences, and try to be real, but not just immediately pit ourselves against one another, but listen and care about one another.
Yeah. Listen and try to understand instead of arguing, have a conversation. Oops, yes. Sounds like mom's home.
The dogs are letting you know.
Oh yeah.
And I was going to ask you though, have you noticed a shift in like the way people treat you now that you don't have Mattis when you're out on patrol?
Oh yeah. especially when I have him out, because people don't talk to police officers, but when you have a dog, it attracts, it builds that bridge. And so it's definitely, I'm back to being solo unless they recognize me from like social media, and which case, you know, a bridge is built.
Well, tell people where they can get the book. The book is My Dog Mattis, and it is by Sergeant Tappan, and I can't read the name again. Libby Hempen.
That's my sister.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. She's got the brains in the family. So, so we definitely got her involved. So yeah, I wrote it. It's on Amazon. It's on Kindle, and actually the Audible should drop any minute. And it's kind of cool. The Audible, I went to the studio and had a mic much like yours, Tim, that was just super high quality. It was unbelievable. But they got me reading the book, and then they got Mattis doing some sound effects in it. So like you hear his sniffing and his panting and chewing on a ball and all kinds of neat stuff.
Now that would be great. That was pretty cool too. Especially, you know, if somebody has, you know, is vision impaired or even just, you know, like can't read yet, like a younger child that can't read yet. That's amazing. So they can actually hear the dog. Yeah. That's
Yeah, I thought it was neat too that they used his, because they're like, "Oh, we can find a dog sniffing." I'm like, "I can make him sniff," and they're like, "Really?" And so we got him to do it. And
that's awesome. Well, we love having you on here. You're one of our favorite guests, and we are very glad that you're safe and Mattis is chilling at home and enjoying his retirement. I'm jealous. I it's got to be hard not to be able to get to hang out with him all day at home. Yeah. I know I can't. I say all the time, if I was rich, I would just stay home with my dogs all day and my husband, but my dogs, I would love to be all day.
Are
100%.
Are you able to go out and do signings and, you know, bring Mattis and chill out and do autographs and stuff?
Yeah, he's my dog now. And once again, from the beginning, I've always tried to socialize him. So he's good around people. He's good around kids. So actually I have a book signing up on the Avalon and Alpharetta. So if you're around in the area, come on by and say hi. We'll sign your book May 16th, and I'm not sure the time.
All right,
but May 16th, Avalon.
Mattis
will be there, and I'll be there.
You shoot us the time if you get it. That way we can put it in the notes or whatever.
Yeah, we'll put everything in the notes.
I'm definitely going to try and come out and get my book signed.
Oh, definitely, you have to.
Thank you for taking the time and coming on. Like I agree 100% with Steph. We love having you on, and anytime you have something you want to talk about, just shoot us a message and best of luck and everything. And if you pull me over in Alpharetta, I'll let you give me a ticket.
Oh, Tim, I appreciate it, man. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, have man. It's so good to see you again.
Thanks, Stephanie. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right. Hey, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? We love Sergeant Tappan. Make sure that you check out all the socials on TikTok. It's a lot of fun. It's not a crazy TikTok with some weirdo, and you know, and help him get Kevin Bacon to recognize Mattis. Okay. And until next week, keep it canine.
Canine.
Woof. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us the longest. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm gonna send those first though. No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the Red Box troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors, those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number five on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.